Morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I start the exhortation, I want to bring you up to speed how this exhortation came about. Because last week we had Brother Jeff up here, and he gave a wonderful exhortation, and the exhortation that I've been already doing was literally a follow-on what he did. And I said to Jeff, you know, you want to come next? I've got a follow-on. I didn't know what you were going to speak about, but I've got a follow-on. You know. Anyway, on Friday, I went and had afternoon tea with Margaret, and this exhortation is her fault, not mine. And we got talking about scriptural things as we generally do, and I brought up an incident that happened to me. And I was trying to work it out. I think it was in the 1980s, which is quite a few years ago. And I was on a missionary journey in India. And on a Sunday morning, we had the memorial meeting. And what they do over there is they have the memorial meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, from 9 o'clock to 10, quarter past 10, whatever. And then what they do is the seniors then go and have Bible class in one room, and the children have Sunday school right up to children to the top of the teens. And Sister Sarah Galbraith, I don't know if some of you may know her, she came up to me and she says, Brother Leo, the brother that's to give the Sunday school to the teenagers has called in sick and he cannot do it. Can you please take the teenagers? The subject is the Lord's Prayer. And how many of you have ever tried to do a talk on the Lord's Prayer to last for about an hour and a half? But when Sister Sarah came and knocked on the door and said, it's finished, time's up, we'd only got halfway through. And what I want to do this morning is give you what I gave to the children, to the teenagers in India. Once we had established, okay, they could all understand English, they all, you know, so we could just go straight through. And the first question I asked was, who knows the Lord's Prayer? And all the hands shot. Okay, and there was a young girl, and I think at the time she was just a teenager. I said, okay, you recite the Lord's Prayer for us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. I said, hang on, whoa, stop. And it was on that basis that's why I want to do the Lord's Prayer, because we mightn't rattle it off like that. But we do sometimes take things for granted. We know that. And instead of, I've read that last week or last year, and I'm not going to take too much effort on it now. You will find things that you've read 100 times, and all of a sudden, never saw that. And now I'll ask a question, and I'm not going to give you the answer until the finish of the exhortation. There are two words in the Lord's Prayer. I know there's many, many words. But two general words that we would expect to be there and are not. They are not there. And it's something that once you see it, oh, I haven't seen that. Okay. So we said to this girl, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this slowly. He said, okay, what's the first thing that you said? Our Father. I said to them, do you know how the Lord's Prayer came into being? Well, the disciples went to Jesus, and they'd heard that John, his disciples, had taught them to pray. We've got no idea what he said or what he taught them. And they said, you teach us to pray. And like John did, teach us to pray. The first thing he said to them was, "Our Father." What does that mean? What does that mean? Take, for instance, the young people here today. Their parents are here, or sorry, it's not, but their parents are here. And when you say "Our Father," he's not talking about your dad. He's talking about our Father. What is Jesus saying? Well, Jesus has given each and every one of us an enormous privilege, one that you cannot even begin to comprehend. He's saying, "I want you as part of my family. I want you to be part of my family." And that we can all come together and say, "Our Father." And just in case you've got doubts in your mind, Christ takes it one step further and he says, "The Father I'm talking about is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven." That is the man we're talking about. That is the God we're talking about. That is the Father we're talking about. And Christ says, "I want you to be part of my family. My family." And then what does he say? "Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You're above anything else that you've ever come across. Holy. Hallowed is your name." And then he goes on. What is the first thing he says once we get this in our mind that we're talking to God Almighty? What is the first thing he wants us to focus on? "Thy kingdom come." Thy kingdom. Not my kingdom. It is God's kingdom. And I'm cheating a little bit here, but one of the words that I said was not in the Lord's Prayer. If you think about it, it is the word "me" or "I" is not in the Lord's Prayer. It is "Thy kingdom come." And then he asked for God's will to be done on the earth exactly the same as it is done in heaven. And we see in scriptures, in Psalms, that in heaven everyone stands in the presence of God. What did the angel say to Mary when he first came to her and said, "You're going to have a child"? He said, "Who are you?" "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. Our Father. Our Father." Then where have you gone? And finally, he comes to our request. Finally, although we are praying to God, finally we can have a look at what we want or what we need. And what is the first thing he says? For us. "No, I need something, God. What do I..." What's the first thing he says? "Give us this day our daily bread." Where does your mind go? Instantly. Goes to Moses in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Every single day, God gave them their daily bread. Not for a week, not for 2 or 3 days, except for when it was for the Sabbath. "Give us this day, today, our daily bread." I'm not asking for a big bank balance. I'm not asking for a big car. I'm not asking for a big house. I'm asking for this day, my daily bread. And when he spoke about the kingdom, did your mind focus instantly, yes, on the kingdom. Like what our brother John was saying in his prayer. What is happening in the Middle East at the moment? Our minds should be really, really focused and wake up to what is happening in the Middle East. And then comes a very, very, very interesting request. It says, forgive us our debt as we forgive those who sin against us. Who has ever stopped and thought about what that actually means? What did he actually say? When Helen was in the home, there was a nurse there, and she wanted to know about the Bible. My Bible was lying on the bed, and she knew I was a Bible person. But, you know, she'd come in at night after all her work was done, and we'd talk about the Bible. And she said one of the big hang-ups that she had about the Bible, well, the one thing she could not get her head around, and that was forgiveness. And when I asked her to explain to me what she was talking about, she said, you know, imagine a drunken, abusive father with a 10-year-old girl, you know, what he did to her. And she said, I can't forgive that. And I bought this verse just popped into my head, just bang like that. And I said, do you know the Lord's Prayer? Yes. And I said, okay. And we're going to that. Forgive us our debt as we forgive those who sinned against us. What that is saying, and I mentioned it to her, I said, Michelle, what that is actually saying is that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, has promised you that he will forgive you every sin you've ever committed. Think of that. He will forgive every sin that you've ever committed. On the same basis as you appear to forgive somebody else. You heard the saying, I can forgive, but I can't forget. No, it doesn't work that way. Whatever somebody has done against you, you are to say, I forgive you. Can you do that? It's extremely hard to do. And I do not belittle it one little bit. But that is what God requires from you. And that's what Jesus did for you. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. If we expect to go into the kingdom with our Father, we must forgive. And that is hard. And I think myself that that is the hardest thing that we've been asked to do in the pages of the scripture. We're human. And we hold grudges, and we get angry with it. But can we forgive? Can we forgive our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, whatever? If you hold on to something, it's a barrier between you and our Father. And then he goes on, as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Bible tells us quite clearly that God will test us. He will put us to the test. Adam and Eve were, Abraham was, Jacob was, Moses was, each and every one of his followers. Each and every one of the saints were put to the test. And then we turn to the last and we come, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Brothers and sisters, how many of us, when we go to sleep at night, ask for the kingdom? When we wake up in the morning, ask for the kingdom. During the day, ask for the kingdom. We give God no rest until the day comes when the kingdom will be set up. And I am very, very convinced at this moment with what's happening in the Middle East that it's not that far away. I believe the kingdom is just around the corner. Please pray to your Father, our Father, our Father. The two words that you won't find is my Father. No, he's not. When the apostles went to Jesus, teach us to pray. We're a family. Our Father, which art in heaven. Can we go to him in earnest prayer and pray that he will listen to us?